Welcome to It's a Code World, your digital marketing podcast. This podcast will give you practical insights on how to be the Renaissance man or woman in digital marketing and become indispensable for your organization.
Hello, It's a Code World, episode 17. And this episode is going to be how to use yourself effectively for digital marketing. And my guest today is John Locke of Lockdown Design out of Sacramento, California. John,
hola.
You and I are, I'm so excited to chat with you today because you and I are birds of a feather in a way. You're just out there in Sacramento and I'm in Minneapolis. And this conversation is not just relevant to digital marketers. This is relevant to everybody, whether you're a construction company, whether you're selling widgets, you're in a startup, or, you know, it's going to be a little bit around our business. But here's the thing. People have a hard time charging what they're worth. I have a hard time charging what I'm worth. And sometimes when you have a scarcity mindset, you'll take on work that's not appropriate for you and sometimes work that you really shouldn't be taking on. Do you agree with that?
Oh, I absolutely agree with that. And there's a lot of levels to that, which we can totally go into. But definitely, like, your confidence in knowing what you're worth and being able to say, like, I'm absolutely not going to take anything that doesn't live up to that is, if you don't have that, you won't progress the next level.
Before we get deep into this topic about pricing, let's just let's do a little, you know, down to earth discussion here. What is something that gets you excited? Maybe let's just go pop culture for a second. Something that you've been excited about, a movie, a book, something lately.
Well, the Wonder Woman movie, I was excited about that. Last year, I was excited when the new Judas Priest album dropped, and it was just fire.
Judas Priest, man, that's throwback. Right. That's throwback. You're still into them, though.
Oh, yeah, totally. Yeah, they keep evolving.
I want people out there to understand that if you are putting yourself in a position to take every client that comes to you, every customer that comes to you. I have construction companies that I'm working for that they find themselves obligated to take on bad jobs, right? They feel like they have to take on every single job that comes to them. That's why good marketing is important, right? That's why you kind of have to push yourself out there a little bit so that maybe you get more prospects so that you can really make a decision. Is this the best prospect for me? Is this the best prospect for me? Is this the best prospect for me? And really allow yourself to not take on these low-value projects where you don't feel you can do your best work.
Well, I see this all the time. A lot of people, they'll reach out to the person who developed their site 3 years ago, and they're long gone. They can't get a hold of them. They're not supporting any of their clients. And so their website hasn't been updated in 3 years. Maybe if it's a WordPress site, none of the plugins or themes have been updated. And they're sitting here with marketing initiatives that they need to get done. And there's nobody to do them. So they have to go and start the process all over again of Googling all the web developers in the area and figuring out who's credible, who's going to be reliable, and who's not.
And working with a new partner, it's annoying, right? No one wants to do that. No one wants to have to rediscover and do that whole process and get sold to and have to, you know, pay premium for the new discovery or whatever it happens to be. We want to have ongoing partners where there's efficiency and people really understand and know your brand.
Absolutely.
So I have a question for you. Let's get started with some tools here.
Bangers. Some quick tools and resources to whet your appetite.
So what are some tools for pricing yourself effectively? Maybe we'll talk about a little bit of tools related to proposals and things like that as well. What do you use for you know, anything related to pricing or proposals.
Okay, so the one thing that I do with proposals, and some people may be doing this and some may not, I do a flat fee, value fee, for proposals. I don't do hourly because I don't want to be measuring my effort, because I could drag my feet.
That's important.
Like, why aren't you?
That's important.
Why aren't you going faster?
Yeah.
You know, yes. So the first thing I do in the initial conversations and the discovery is I figure out, like, what is going to be the value of this project? If we do this website project, what kind of impact is it going to have on your business? So I try and base my proposal off of that ROI. It's something that they've already stated, like, that, you know, if we do this, this is why we need to do this. If we don't do this, like, it's going to hurt in these ways. So,
all right,
you know, I try and quantify the ROI.
All right. So I'd say that's a system that works in this spot. Two things that I'd throw out there. One that I use a lot, which is called Bid Sketch for proposals. It's a way to really quickly, you know, throw out proposals, which is good for myself and the client, because I think that they don't want me to spend 5 hours on a proposal if I'm not going to get the job. And, you know, there's proposals where it's appropriate to get it out there quick. And the other one is Proposify. And this one is actually just suggested to me by my good friend Simon, and he uses that. So I think that that's also a good option for proposal software. Do you have any other tool? Yeah, we'll open it up. Systems, anything else that really helps you in the process of pricing and getting the agreement with the client?
Well, basically I, you know, anything that goes in the proposal for me is something that we've discussed beforehand. It's not a mystery. We've already talked to, you know, the first thing, it's basically like an outline. My proposals are just an outline of, here's the situation. Here's why you're reaching out to me. Here's what we're going to get done. You know, here's the different options, and then here's how much those options are going to cost and how long the time frame is for each one. And, you know, if you put your deposit down, you're good to go. We're moving forward. And if not, well, then we're not. So it's basically just an outline of everything that we've talked about.
Absolutely. So I always like to deconstruct myths. So the myth, I think, with web designers that's kind of most prominent is, I think, that it doesn't require being a professional. Because here's the thing. You can, and in some cases should, in my opinion, construct a website on Wix, Squarespace, and a naked or a simple WordPress theme that you just bought that was premium, and things like that. Now, my thing is, I don't disparage anyone from those kinds of situations. When it's appropriate to buy some kind of theme or whatever people are doing, I always encourage them to do that when it's appropriate. In some cases, when your business is dependent on an effective website that's professional and looks professional, feels professional, and gets professional results, it's not appropriate. You shouldn't hinge your entire company on a non-professionally designed website. That's a poor use of your marketing dollars, right? Even if you hire somebody that's in marketing, but they're not actually a web designer, you probably want to have a professional do it if it is indeed a key element in businesses these days, which I think it's becoming more apparent and more apparent that the website is core. It's plumbing. It's not a nice to have. You know what I mean? So in your experience, what is it about web design that people don't seem to understand that you need a professional to do it versus other trades and businesses where people don't question the fact that they need a plumber, a professional plumber, and maybe they shouldn't be digging their hands in shit. So what is the difference? What is the difference with our job that makes people think that they're suddenly a professional because they had two graphic design courses in college or something?
Well, I think it's there's a couple things to unpack there. So there are definitely segments of the business market, maybe toward the smaller business end, where people feel like they should be able to do it themselves because they've been told, you know, either WordPress or Squarespace or Wix or whatever is super easy. You can, you know, put it up yourself. And perhaps they see their competitors also with crappy websites. And so there's not a pressing need. Now, on the higher end of that, say if it's a company with a dedicated marketing team or at the very least like a marketing director, and they've got some sort of corporate structure, then you're going to see more emphasis on actually getting an outside person or agency to do a website for them, because they, at that level, they kind of realize they need help with that. They need to present stuff professionally. I think it's at the more kind of lower end where people have more time than they do money that they try to do it themselves. If you have more money than time, you're going to hire somebody else.
Most people that are just trying to slap together a website do indeed neglect certain key areas of search engine optimization. And it's really some basic stuff, and I can try to advise, but unfortunately, if you don't work with a professional, it's very hard to make sure that happens. Because I know your website is going to be worthless if you don't have 700 pages or 700 words per service page. It's just not going to do much for you. And they know that because I told them, but the amount of intensity with which I require them to make sure that happens is a professional aspect. That's me being a professional about it and saying, I need you, we need to get this 700 words on these service pages so that your website makes money. And I want your website to make money. And if you're just trying to do it internally, I think it's harder to make sure that happens. Just because it's like, okay, well, we did get a website. You don't know. It's up. It's up. You know what I'm saying?
I do know what you're saying, and I'm glad you're bringing this up. There's a few things, you know, in anecdote. Like early in my career, I approached a construction company in the Bay Area, and they had told me, well, we hired somebody to internally to build the website, and after a year, they still didn't have it. So, I mean, imagine the cost. You're probably talking about 50-60K at least, and you still didn't have anything instead of hiring somebody. What you said, I really want to focus on, and that's a lot of people, they focus on how things look instead of, is it going to draw traffic, and is it going to convert that traffic into, you know, people who spend money? And I think a lot of the time, you know, we get... In web design, a lot of people get focused on the design part of it, and they don't think about, you know, the content. Content comes like dead last. It's just some stuff that you drop in there, and that's a fatal flaw that I see with a lot of designers and even agencies, is they're really focused on the look and the aesthetic, and when it comes to, did this actually have an impact on your business, they're completely, like, out of the picture. They don't want to be responsible for it. They don't have any input on it. You need to, it takes three legs to make the table stand. You need good design, but you need great content, and you need good development. You know, all those things, like even down to where you host. Don't host your stuff on the $5, you know, HostGator. If you expect people to come there, you got to have a fast loading site. You know, so all those things work together.
I remember talking to a business owner who had worked with three different website design companies. He's just an acquaintance, and I'd been kind of just chatting with him. Actually, we did a podcast together. He said, I worked with three different companies, and each of them had a giant problem with customer service. Is that because we're terrible people in the website business? Is that there's a lot of marketing companies out there that don't have customer service? I think it's because it's a competitive market. There's a lot of, well, let's say this, there's a lot of people doing it, but there's also a lot of demand. And so people think that they can get away with that. I'm suggesting that we price ourselves effectively so that we don't need to try to get away with that, that we can be the 30-minute email people and that we can be the, I don't care how many meetings it takes, I just want to get this right type of people. And that is, I think, it's uncomfortable to try to push your prices up to that level. But I want my clients to do that as well for their products and services, that they should push it up. What is your advice for people that are just starting out? And I mean, my thing is you got to start somewhere. So you have to either do a free website, you have to start, you know, you have to start somewhere. So maybe if you haven't sold a website yet, then it's not the time to be high and mighty. Oh, I need to sell a $10,000 website. And also, it also is not the appropriate time if you have no business already.
Yeah.
But it is the appropriate time when you're starting to feel, you know, like you're taxed because you're doing all these, you know, taxed emotionally because you're doing so many shitty small websites. So what is your advice, though, for these people that are just starting out and maybe have only done one or two websites and are trying to get into it, with pricing?
Well, definitely. I would say charge. If you've only done like one or two, definitely you can, you know, do what you can to get your portfolio filled out. You know, if you got family, friends, nonprofits, things like that, they always need help. Help people in your community. Nonprofits need a lot of help with web design. And that'll look good in your portfolio and open a lot of doors. I would say definitely do things to get a foot in the door. If that's going to help you advance to the next level. And that's something I try and do is, you know, be strategic about, is this, you know, particular project going to help me get to the next level in some way. But when it comes to pricing, I would say, price outside of what makes you feel comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever you can say with this, you know, straight face. I mean, if you're going to say, you know, it costs $10,000, you know what I mean? That's, you're not going to be able to sell that. But if you can go in there and say, like, you know, it's going to cost, you know, X thousand dollars or whatever, and that's the price, you know, whatever you can say with confidence. But all
that kind of comes down to having more prospects usually. Like, how can you push up your prospects so that you're okay if one out of five people says yes?
And, well, you got to get out from behind your computer too.
Yeah, exactly. And just, here's the thing. I'll try to give a little advice on this. I was taking little tiny engagements from people that were already in the business. I was just like, I can design that. Like, let me design that. And I would get on to, you know, into meetups and everything that I didn't understand and just put myself out there and shake more hands and say hi and be awkward. I was awkward. I am really awkward, but it's uncomfortable. Guess what? You have to have an urgency about you and you have to put yourself in uncomfortable situations if you're not Draplin. So like Draplin is this designer that in our, you know, web is, he's more of a graphic designer, but he's like, everybody knows him. He's already out there. So unless you're the 10% of designers and, you know, really it's like there are designers that stay and they're employed, they're well employed and they do really well for agencies, but trying to put themselves out there and get their own clients, is a different business. So if you're wanting to do that and you think that that's right for your business, you're going to have to push yourself out there. You're going to have to make yourself uncomfortable. And it's not easy, but it is crucial. And meetups. Where else would you suggest people go?
Well, I would say what's really helped me. I mean, meetups are great, like at first, when I first started. And that's a good thing, too. But you want to go and be in a room where you're the only one that does.
Ooh, that's good. That's important. Yep, exactly. So you could suggest maybe organizations and meetups where it's a different business. You're not just meeting other.
Right.
Like I remember going to UX and WordPress and all these different things. And then later on, I'm like, how do I go to these construction company meetups? How do I, you know, get in with these other people and then being the expert in your field?
No, that's totally it. That's what you got to do.
Yeah, exactly. So, in the process of pushing it up, my experience was you can charge $1,000, $2,000 for a little while, but of course that's not a real business and you're going to have to push it up. Now, do I understand that I'm competing with these people that are charging $1,000 and $2,000 because I'm giving them the advice? Yeah, maybe. But here's the thing is usually I end up getting these clients that they've had a website before and they kind of underspent on it. And now they're like, all right, let's do this for real. So it's kind of like one of those things is like, there are people that are going to always go with a cheap provider. And if you can get in front of them and charge a couple $1,000s at the beginning, that I think that that's smart. And I encourage people to do that. And I'm okay with it because I understand, and we understand our market, I think. Now, lastly, what or where can people find you, John?
So you can go to my website, lockdowndesign.com. And you can also find me on Twitter. I'm lockdown_, a silent E after the lock. And you can also find me on Facebook. My page is Lockdown Design. So pretty much either Lockdown or Lockdown Design.
Awesome. And I am timbydesign.com and timbydesign on Instagram, timbydesignmpls on Twitter. Because, you know, some asshole grabbed timbydesign. So anyways, man, it was really good to chat with you about this. And thank you so much.
Oh, thank you.
And everyone.
It's always a pleasure.
Awesome. Thank you. And everyone who would like to check out show notes to this, there'll be basic show notes at timbydesign.com/podcast-17. Thanks for joining us.
Join us next time for It's a Code World, bringing you radical guests speaking to relevant topics in digital marketing. From visual design to front-end development, from growth hacking social media and SEO, to work process tips and working with clients. You've got the words to change a nation, but you're biting your tongue. You spent some lifetime stuck in silence, afraid you'll say something wrong. If no one ever hears it, how are we gonna learn your song? So come on, come on, come on, come on, you gotta... Come on, come on.